571, right? Up there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is chapter 7, the beginning, the first verse of chapter 7, Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 5. And verse number 1. So I have to read the beginning of the chapter. In this chapter, the activities of King Bharat Maharaj, the emperor of the whole world, are described. Bharat Maharaj performed various ritualistic ceremonies, Vedic yajnas, and satisfied the Supreme Lord by his different modes of worship. In due course of time, he left home and resided in Haridwar, and passed his days in devotional service activities, being ordered by his father, Lord Rishabhadev. Bharat Maharaj married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarup. After this, he ruled the whole world peacefully. Formerly, this planet was known as Ajanabha, and after the reign of Maharaj Bharat Maharaj, it became known as Bharatvarsh. Bharat Maharaj begot 5 sons in the womb of Panchajani, and he named the sons Sumati, Rashtra, Vrita, Sudarshana, Avarana, and Dhumraketu. Bharat Maharaj was very rigid in executing religious principles and following the footsteps of his father. He therefore ruled the citizens very successfully. Because he performed various yajnas to satisfy the Supreme Lord, he was personally very satisfied. Being of undisturbed mind, he increased his devotional activities unto Lord Vasudev. Bharat Maharaj was competent in understanding the principles of saintly persons like Narada, and he followed in the footsteps of the sages. He also kept Lord Vasudev constantly within his heart. After finishing his kingly duties, he divided his kingdom among his 5 sons. He then left home and went to the place of Pulaha, known as Pula Ashram. There he ate forest vegetables and fruits and worshipped Lord Vasudev with everything available. Thus he increased his devotion towards Vasudev, and he automatically began to realize further his transcendental, blissful life. Due to his highly advanced spiritual position, there were sometimes visible in his body the astha-sattvika transformations, such as ecstatic crying and bodily trembling, which are symptoms of love of Godhead. It is understood that Maharaj Bharat worshipped the Supreme Lord with the mantras mentioned in the Rig Veda, generally known as the Gayatri Mantra, which aim at the Supreme Narayan situated within the sun. Sri Shuka Uvacha Bharatastu Mahabhagavato Yadu Bhagavata Vani Tala Pari Palanaya Shanchi Tatas. Tadanushana Paraha Panchajanim Vishwarupa Duhitaram Upayeme. Sri Shuka Uvacha Bharatastu Mahabhagavato Yada Bhagavata Vani Tala pari palanaya sanchitas sanchitas tad. Anushama para panchajanim Vishwarupa duhitaram upayeme. Sri Shuka Vacha. Bhagavata Yada. Bhagavato Yada Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Bharata, Maharaj Bharat, Tu, but, Mahabhagavata, a Mahabhagavata, most exalted devotee of the Lord. Yada, when, Bhagavata, by the order of his father, Lord Rishabhadev, Avanitala, the surface of the globe, Paripalanaya, for ruling over, Sanchitata, made up of his mind, Tat Anusana, Paraha, engaged in governing the globe, Panchajanim, Panchajani, Vishwarupa Duhitaram, the daughter of Vishwarup, Upayeme, married. Translation, Shukadev Goswami continues speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, my dear king, Bharat Maharaj was a topmost devotee, following the orders of his father. He had already decided to install him on the throne. He began to rule the earth accordingly. When Bharat Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarup. There's no purport, so I have to go to the next verse. Is it okay if I don't read the verse? It's very long. Translation, second verse. Just as the false ego creates the subtle sense objects, Maharaj Bharat created 5 sons in the womb of Panchajani, his wife. These sons were named Sumati, Rashtrabhadra, Sudarshana, Avaranya, and Dhumraketu. Next verse. Formerly, this planet was known as Ajanabha Varsha, but since Maharaj Bharata's reign, it has become known as Bharat Varsha. Purport. This planet was formerly known as Ajanabha because of the reign of King Nabhi. After Bharat Maharaj ruled this planet, it became celebrated as Bharat Varsha. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. Maharaj Bharat was a very learned and experienced king on this earth. He perfectly ruled the citizens, being himself engaged in his own respective duties. Maharaj Bharat was as affectionate to the citizens as his father and grandfather had been. Keeping them engaged in their occupational duties, he ruled the earth. Purport. It is most important that the chief executive rule the citizens by keeping them fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. Some of the citizens were brahmanas, some were kshatriyas, and some were vaishyas and shudras. It is the duty of the government to see that the citizens act according to their material divisions for their spiritual advancement. No one should remain unemployed or unoccupied in any way. One must work as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra on the material path. And on the spiritual path, everyone should act as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasa. Although formerly the government was a monarchy, all the kings were very affectionate toward the citizens, and they strictly kept them engaged in their respective duties. Therefore, society was very smoothly conducted. Very nice verse, this verse. So, this is very, very nice that now we know that we always talk about India, Bharat, Bharat. You know, there goes Bharat, Bharat Varsh. It's actually coming from Bharat Maharaj. Yeah, you know, so we have we born in India. We have a rin that coming from Bharat Maharaj actually. So we are connected to all the way back then. So we can be proud of that. You know, we have our connection goes all the way back to Bharat Maharaj. So originally, that was the system that the kings were, monarchy, the kings. Now we don't have that system. The citizens were very happy with the king. It's mentioned here. And the king will return, in return, they would be engaging the citizens in the devotional service to Krishna, of God, it's mentioned, Narayan. So they are... Everyone must be engaged. The most important aspect of our life, whatever we are doing, whatever ashram you are in, is that you have to perform bhakti, devotion to Krishna, devotional service. So, the kings, they were Radha Rishis. It's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Kings were Radha Rishis. They were saint kings, devotees. So they're not ordinary king. So, the saintly king, the devotees, automatically, naturally, they want to engage the citizens in serving Krishna. So Krishna is the center of our life, center. So if the king is devotee, he will make sure that everyone in the kingdom, that they would be engaged in serving Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. This is the way to properly engage. And the citizens were so happy with the king that then there is no the citizens were so happy with the king that the king would make sure they provide everything for the citizens. It's not that you get, you know, paycheck from the king, but they would make sure, the king would make sure that you are serving Krishna. You are engaged in devotional service, just like it mentioned here. You know, brahmachari, grihastha, vanavas, sannyas. And then there is the brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. Everyone was engaged accordingly. Like even in this temple, we have the brahmanas, you know, who does the puja, worship of the deity. They're brahmanas. They study and talk about Krishna, study scriptures. They're very well versed in the scriptures. You know, they're brahmanas naturally. And someone like me, you know, I am not so intelligent. I could be like a shudra, you know, work, clean, cook. These are shudra activities. You know, shudra grounds. They're different activities. And then the kshatriyas, you know, they're the military class of people, armies. They protect the citizens. Yeah. So naturally everyone has their characters by birth. Someone likes to be a chokidar, a security guard. Someone likes to manage and control. This is kshatriya, very courageous. Someone is very very brahminical, they like to study and teach and preach, sannyasi type persons. And then there are people who are not very intelligent and they're very good at cleaning duties and stuff. The society is divided in four categories. So everyone is engaged accordingly, isn't it? So if you ask someone who is cleaning, so can you, they're not good at, you know, graphic designs, for example. You know. So those days, people are pretty much engaged properly. So nowadays, we have these categories, but more or less everyone is shudras. Because even the top person, the right on the top, he's also working, and he gets paid for his job, isn't it? So everyone is working as a... And previously, the brahmanas, they would do yajna, go to home, preach to the kingly people, the grihasthas, shudras, you know, like that, and they would be given sumptuously food, a place to stay, free, even money. But now, the government don't care about the brahmanas. There's no brahmanas. The brahmanas have to get a job. So everyone has a work to do. You know. So what to do? So in Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that we are not shudra, vaishyas or brahmanas. We are Vaishnavas. So I can do pujari work, I can give class, lead kirtan, cook, dress deity, and do sweep the floor. This is the Vaishnava activities. We are able to do anything for Krishna. I cannot go around stamping you, or you are a shudra, or you are a brahmana. It's like when I first went to Vrindavan from Mayapur. I went to Gurukul. So when I was in Gurukul in Mayapur in the 70s, those days not like the Mayapur today. It was very simple. And they didn't have any labor, they didn't have much money. So we're going to classes. Suddenly they said, we need people to clean the toilet. And they get the Gurukul boys to clean the toilet. And our academy was cut short. We didn't study much because we were just doing service. So it's devotional service. So Mayapur is a place of service. You know. Then I was transferred to Vrindavan Gurukul. And I loved it. Because Vrindavan Gurukul, we didn't have to clean the toilet and sweep the floor. Just study. That's where I did Bhakti Sastri, English grammar, all the things that I learned in Vrindavan Gurukul. And all the teachers are really qualified. They're from Canada, from US, from UK. All very good teachers, very academically. They were teachers before they became a devotee. So we are really learning from them. And so I wrote a letter to the GBC in Mayapur. I said, you people there, down there in Mayapur, are all shudras. We're Brahmanas here in Vrindavan. We properly study. You guys just work, work, work. Yeah. So that's not very nice of me to say that, because we are all doing service to Krishna, wherever we are. It's not that you are Brahman or you are Shudra. On the other hand, we need to understand this principle of our service to Krishna is eternal service. Jive sarupaya Krishna nita das. We're eternal servant of Krishna. In the spiritual world, Krishna is Bhagavan, he's God, and everyone else is his service, serving him. So all transcendental. So the kings were very advanced kings. They are Vaishnava kings. They would make sure the citizens understand what is Krishna consciousness, what is dharma. Dharmam tu bhagavat sakshat. That the kings, they would make sure the citizens practice dharma, religious principles. Otherwise, without performing religious principles, citizens, they go to hell. The kings make sure they go to hell, like today. The king himself will go to hell. During that time, Bharat Maharaj's time, Yudhishthira Maharaj's time, and before that, nobody would die before their time is time to die. If anyone died as a child, then the king had the power to go to Yamaraj and ask why he is dying. So they had such power because they were so pure. The kings were very pure. They had the ability to go to heaven and confront the heavenly kings. Like we are reading the before this part of the Bhagavatam, Rishabhadev. He had the power to level the planet, cut the mountain so they can grow rice and vegetables. He had that kind of power. And if there's no rain, he had the power to create the rain. Not just make a movie and make rain. And there's no rain. So yajna brings rain. Today is the first day, the last day of the year, of this year, today. So we're going to have Harinam tonight, till midnight. To midnight, if anybody wants to come on Harinam, this is for your own sake. You'll make spiritual advancement by going out chanting the holy name. I entirely believe in this. That's why I go crazy when the Harinam, because I know this is the Yuga Dharma. In this age, Harinama, 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 I'm a Kevalam. There's no other way, no other way, no other way except the chanting the holy names. People think, and we are so happy that today is the last day of 2020. It's over. All that virus and, you know, we're going to bring now Krishna virus to the people. No more this nonsense virus, you know. We're going to inject people with Krishna conscious vaccines. Jai! Yeah. So we need to understand this principle of ashram. We have to engage ourselves properly in Krishna consciousness. This is not the kings were elected. They didn't have anything like voting system like today. You know. What's voting? You know, it's all voting fraud. Isn't it? Russian meddling, and they're talking about it, and then there's cyber attack by the Chinese. It's all over the news. So they say, yeah, you vote me, I will make sure I'll make you happy. And Krishna says the same thing. You serve me, I'll make sure you're happy. You'll come back to me. You'll get eternal life. He can say that. Krishna can say it. When Krishna makes the promises, he's Bhagavan, he can give you what's lacking in our life. But these people, they are ordinary human beings. They're not devotees. And they think I promise I will make sure you're happy. What promise? Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj here. Bharat Maharaj, he left for the forest when time's up. So that's another thing. Yeah, people want to cling on to their position. You know, years and years, when their time's up, they give their position away to their sons. They're trained by the father. That was the system. It's not that elected. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You know, so this is the modern day system. Those days, so that's why they have the brahmachari ashram, the grihastha ashram. So if you're a really good brahmachari, you can make a very good grihastha. That's what they talk about. They usually say like that. And if you are a good grihastha, then you can become a good vanaprastha. You're an experienced man. You've seen the world, you've done all the things. And then, when you take sannyas, you're totally detached from this world. You're attached to Krishna. And sometimes there's always a lingering in our heart. Oh, I missed out. You know, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Don't think like that. When you have Krishna, you have everything. We have to have faith. You don't have. If you think you're missing out something in the material world, what is there to be attached to in the material world? There's nothing. The cow is thinking the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. They have the big long tongue. They try to get the grass. Everywhere is the same. You're drinking sweet rice in Melbourne, in a paper cup. You go to India, same sweet rice. You can eat in a clay cup. Now they don't have a clay cup anymore. They're drinking in a plastic cup. It's the same thing. Enjoyment is in the same different containers. But it's the same thing. So we have to understand the process of Krishna consciousness is so advanced that wherever you are, whatever ashram you are in, you're totally satisfied because you have Krishna in the center of your life. If you take Krishna out, what is there to enjoy? It's all very dry. Very dry. So this is why Bharat Maharaj, he trained his sons very nicely. Even today they have this system. Like sometimes the parents in India, even today, they divide the land and give to their different sons if they have many sons and their money, right? Yeah. We were three brothers. I was a twin with other brother. He passed away. I told you the story. And then I have an older brother. So we have three brothers. And we didn't have that much land, but we had enough land. And we were very young. And my father and mother, they were... one was different from the other, so that was not going well in the family life. And so it's all up to Krishna how we are brought up in this world. So I became a devotee in Mayapur, and then my mother joined the temple, and we sold all the land, and so there was nothing else for us to go back to, which is good. So you have to really take shelter of Krishna. Sometimes we have so much things to take shelter of in this world, we forget Krishna, isn't it? You have land, you have a home, you have money. But one thing is missing, is Krishna. You know, people, they have everything, but still people are not happy. You know, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he couldn't make Krishna conscious devotee in India because there's so many sadhus going around. They said Indian people saying, oh, there's another sadhu. Yeah. Then he went to America and he brought the white people to India. So, oh. Then they saw the white people are chanting Hare Krishna. Then that was the technique. So the white people, you know, they have everything. They've given up for Bhagwan. And here we are, you know, we are looking for what they already gave up. So, you know, I've heard Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada was in a Thompson Square Park. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to go around selling flute. You know, like, I thought, what's selling flute? It's like, how much money can he make out of that? He gave up. He was looking for God. So he was just selling flute, living in a tree, because he wanted God. He fed up with the material world. And many of them were hippies. And so, you know, as when Srila Prabhupada came, they gave up all that and joined Swamiji. They joined Prabhupada to assist him. So, Srila Prabhupada was a real king, I reckon. You know, Prabhupada, he was like a king. Even there was a place in Nirvindavan, one of our gurus, they made that Nirvindavan into a palace. They took away from ISKCON. There's a whole story. And they enthroned Prabhupada with a crown and dressed him like a king. But this is not Sampradaya, because we have to worship Prabhupada like what he was. But just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaur Nithai, they were in the sannyasi garb. But we dress them up like crown and hair like Krishna, because they're God. So we have to... So Srila Prabhupada was like a king. Everything he did was like a... so exalted. And the way he moved his body, and the way he talked to people, the way he picked up his glass to drink his water, the way he looked at people, the way he turned each other over his body, like elegant, like a king. So he was like a king. But dressing him up like a king would be too much. He was like a king. Yet, he was very detached. He was pure sadhu. He was surrounded by all this wealth. So much wealth. Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees. Today, 40 rupees, you can't even buy a drink. Right? One lassi is around 40 rupees, right? You know, we're giving free lassi here. Yeah. Every day we have, around lunchtime, we have a lassi bar outside the kitchen. So Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees and he bought the 40 rupees back. So much wealth. And he gave it up. He was not attached to any of that. In Prabhupada, we have one home here, we have two homes here, there, on and rent. Prabhupada have the whole world. So many temples, he opened it. He could easily make money and live and go back to his family and live a good life in India. Prabhupada left the family, tea or me. We're talking about it. His wife was saying, you know, as a joke, you know, and he says, and Prabhupada took it seriously, he left. So even us, we can get an illusion, thinking, I can live here in this world comfortably. This is Maya. Maya is to keep us in this world entangled. So we have to be very careful. The energy, Maya energy, is very strong, that we can be blown away like a tsunami. You know, when tsunami comes, big storm, cars, trees are rooted, cars blown into the sky. And I remember I lived in Hong Kong, they have this typhoon, they call it typhoon. And me and my friend, we went to go inside the typhoon and see what's it like. Oh, so strong, very dangerous, because debris can come and hit you. And me and my friend, we went down. Everything is blown away. And we are holding on to a pillar and our bodies in the air. We thought this was fun. Yes. And we thought, wow, this is like exercise, you know. Pretty quickly we had to go back inside. So dangerous. So Maya is like that, like a tsunami. It's like a typhoon. Doesn't matter how strong you are, you can thrash around here and there into the sky, whew, up and upside down. So you have to be humble, like a grass. Tinarapi sunichana. If you have grass, people walk on the grass. Grass is still okay. There's a huge tree is uprooted by the wind, blown and crack open, fallen. So if you have grass, you're in a good position, isn't it? Grass will never complain. Hey, you! Why are you stepping on me? Right? But then the pride comes. We have to become humble than grass. We have to give up this pride. Nothing is ours. You're thinking, husband, wife, children, you know. We get carried away by Maya, even as devotees. We are. So that's why these kings, even though they're surrounded by wealth, they're emperors. They gave it up, boom, just like that. When time's up, give it up, went to the forest. Isn't it? We're still clinging on. You see, I've seen a couple, the other day I saw a couple, they must be 80 or 90. They're still holding hand, walking, and lipstick on, and high heel shoes, skirts. Even Indian people are doing sometimes. I remember when I lived in Chopati, doing yoga course, and we used to go down over the road and to the internet cafe. Me and my friends. So we didn't. That time they didn't have a mobile phone. We had to go to the internet to check our email and stuff. And there was this one big fat lady, Indian lady. We are used to telling the ladies Matajis. So he said, "Oh, Mataji." She said, "Don't ever call me Mataji. Call me Madam." So like we're scared of her. So, you know, we are performing devotional service and we imbibe the Vedic culture. When you call someone Prabhu Mataji, this utter respect. Isn't it? I've seen Matajis calling other Matajis Matajis. So that's funny. Then I thought, I am man, I call Prabhus. So it's okay. So everyone here is very respectful. So why do we respect each other? It's not that, he's calling me Prabhu, I'm a master, and I'm calling Mataji. But actually, our respect is for Krishna. We're servant of Krishna, we're servant of Guru Maharaj. So all the respect goes to that Prabhu. The ultimate Prabhu is the supreme master, is Bhagavan, Krishna. So here, Bharat Maharaj, he was a king. Yet, he was very humble. He trained his own sons and daughters to become Krishna's devotee. Like so many of our grihasthas, you're sending your sons and daughter to the Australian school. Because you have to learn. I went to Gurukul. When I left to school, I don't even have a piece of paper to show that I went to school. They said, "You finish now, get out, go and preach Krishna consciousness." So like if I'm married, I want a job, they want to see some certificate that I studied. I have nothing to show. So many of my friends that went to Gurukul, they all married, but they all had to go to school again, karmi school, and get a degree. In the Gurukul, we learn Bhagavad verses, Bhagavatam verses, Bhakti Shastri. This is what actually our purpose is. But if you want to have more than that, like have a family and a job, you know, we're not living inside the yuga, then you got to have some degree. So they all are very upset that we didn't get anything. But because of Prabhupada's mercy, I'm still here. You know. So we have to have faith in Krishna. Even if you went to school, suppose you are a devotee all your life, you're brahmachari, you're serving in an ashram years and years, and then you're about 50, and then suddenly you want to get married. And then you don't have any degree, you've been a devotee all your life. Then what are you going to do? Temple, you know, like, so how are you going to support the family? But somehow Krishna arranges. Krishna always arranges. But you don't kill yourself, pull your hair out, "Oh God, how am I going to pay the bills?" No. Break your head against the wall. "How am I going to pay my bills?" "Hare Baba, have faith in Krishna." You know, like this is what they say. Even the elephant has, you know, they need a lot of food. Why do we not have an elephant in our temple? Because it's very expensive to maintain an elephant. Yeah. I remember Crossways, the old Crossways. I used to go and preach down there. And then we had one guy, the Maharaji was doing the, she went back to India. I know. She said, that guy there, he had halwa 11 times. It's very expensive. Like, so I went over there, I said, oh, you like the food here, huh? So I love it here. I said, how many serves did you have? I said, oh, I don't know, I can't remember, I had so many serves. Then I was talking with him. He liked the halwa. I mean, it's actually a good thing. Others don't even eat, we don't even eat. And he was eating so much, he loved it. But if we were to eat so much, 11 plates of prasadam, this is going to become expensive for us. So my point is, elephant, they eat a lot. You know, you have to have one acre of land to grow sugarcane, banana tree, just for that one elephant. 50 kg per day. And in Mayapur we have two elephants, right? I don't know how they're maintaining it. One huge elephant and there's one skinny lady taking care of it that goes around. That Mataji is from Germany. So Krishna is taking care of the elephant, that they're not going to the temple and doing kirtan, chanting japa with us with the bead bag, tilak. They're not doing anything, just eating food all day and passing big dungs like this. So much work to maintain that elephant. So why Krishna's taking care of this elephant doing nothing for him, why he will not take care of us if we didn't serve him? That's my point. But the thing is, Krishna gives us all these things, we should always remember to thank him. Be thankful. That's why you say, oh Prabhuji, oh Mataji, thank you. Be thankful to Krishna. When it's time to leave, give it up. Go for Krishna consciousness. You know, in Bengal, you know, when somebody goes to the temple and they're married, the wife is very, very scared because they think, oh, he's going to take sannyas now. So don't take sannyas. They stop him from going to the temple. Sometimes like they're scared. But Krishna will take care of it. You see all the devotees here, you know, family, the husband, wife, children, they're all very happy. You're serving Krishna. Like this guy here, you know, there's one Mataji with three kids. Every day they come from Mangalarati. You know, and they love it. There's not a hardship for them. They live down the road, they come. So you have to enjoy Krishna consciousness. If you don't enjoy, you become too attached to material things. And so being in the position of an emperor, a king, when you have a leader, you have so much opulent, people bowing down, pay obey, you have to know this is all belongs to Prabhupada. This all belongs to Krishna. I'm just his servant. Sometimes I go, when there's a big feast here, I think, wow, so much food. I can eat all of that. Wow, I'm so happy. You know, I remember on a Gurukul, we're fasting all day, and then I made myself a huge plate. They said, you guys, your kids, you have to serve the adult. Become humble, service attitude. Yeah. So if you do that here, oh yeah, it's a child abuse. But in India, they make us serve the adult. They make us serve the elderly devotees. So they said, you Gurukul guys, young kids, you serve the adult. And you eat what's left over. We have to really practice what we talk, what we say. I said, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm going to make myself a huge plate before I serve the adults. So I'd make a huge plate. Then after I serve, in my mind I'm thinking, when I'm going to sit down to eat that. And when I sit down to eat it, halfway I'm full. I can't eat it. Yeah. So, you know, idea is, we have to always know that the real enjoyment is in service. You cannot give up when you're too attached. It weighs down us, weighs down in our heart, the attachment. This is why these kings, why they're known as saintly kings? Because they're devotees. They knew they're doing the duty, it's like it mentioned here, they're doing the duty on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of the spiritual master. They're doing it as a duty, that's all. So they don't get bogged down and become attached to it. They know this is all Prabhupada, this is all Krishna's. I'm just doing as a service to my spiritual master. So this way they remain aloof, detached from all the opulent. Sometimes I'm walking here, people want to touch my feet, jumping down. I say, yeah, kya kar rahe, you know, what's this? Ah, Prabhu, can you bless me? Yeah, go down to the temple, ask Krishna bless you. Do service, isn't it? Do devotional service, chant and dance like mad. Go Harinam, distribute books, do all the service. Yeah, automatically Krishna will bless you. And then you just want to go for around, come around, ah, bless me, Prabhu. No, I'm not going, you okay, my blessing. You want blessing, you have to do service, Prabhupada. You have to serve Krishna. Work hard for Krishna. Krishna will bless us. And the other devotees will also automatically bless you because they see you doing this. It comes naturally. You don't deserve, oh, bless me. No, no, you have to deserve to get the blessing. So this is why the ashrams are there, kings are there, but everybody need to understand what the purpose behind all this thing we're doing. Narayan, Krishna, devotional service. You know, I'm cooking here every day, and I'm thinking, you know, why I should cook these things. These guys, I'm cooking for them, they don't even chant their rams, they just come and just goof around. Yeah, I'm wasting my time here, I don't cook for these guys. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm cooking for Krishna, Radha Vallabha. I have some issues with this guy, that guy. No, we are here to please Krishna. We are here because we are here to serve Krishna. I'm not here for this one, that one. I'm here to serve Prabhupada. We have to always see ourselves, why you're doing, what for, what the reason behind. If it becomes a personal issue, then it becomes mundane. But we have to always remind ourselves, the reason why we are here, we are doing as a duty to our Guru. Then it becomes perfect. Otherwise, it becomes a drag. Oh God, I got to turn around again. Oh God, you know, and this Prabhu, I have to see him again. Oh God, this Mataji, I have to see again. He's going to blast me. I have to see. No. We have to always remind ourselves that if we are in the spiritual world, we have to see Krishna every day. Is it as a drag? You know, same Krishna every day. The same, Radha Vallabha every day, standing there, smiling at us. They develop the taste in our heart. Favorable. We have to do things favorably. Then it becomes sweet. Otherwise, it becomes like a sore point in us. Oh, you know. So it's a duty at the same time. We're doing it for Krishna, so it's devotional duty. It's bhakti, devotional service, prema, love, out of love for Krishna. Then it becomes really good. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any questions? Don't tell me you have no questions because I spoke so much. And then I didn't waste my time here. Ask one question or two. Yes, sir. Prabhu. We have to, we are not doing things to what suits us better. We are doing for Krishna. So when you love someone, you want to voluntarily do something that is hardship, that pleases your friend, someone that you really love. They will appreciate even more because it's difficult to do. And you are trying to do even if you don't know how to do it. Then you find out. Just like you go to people go to university, they have no idea. You know, they spend so much money, work hard to get the degree. So similarly for Krishna, something is like me, I had no idea how to cook. And they throw me in the kitchen. And I learned from the devotees over the years. That's how we learn. It's not that I went and got a degree. You know, I'm a chef, master chef. You know, we cook. We can hire someone to cook. But we can't hire someone to eat meat. We're cooking for Krishna. So this is all within family. So similarly, we want to do something that's difficult, but we work hard to learn that because we are doing it for Krishna. Like a child, you know, in the broken words, can't get up, it takes time to learn to walk, but they're trying hard. And then they quickly learn over time. So we have to always see the definition. There's a line. That's me or God? Am I doing this for me? You know, sometimes I cook for Krishna. Oh, I like it, so I'm cooking for him. But underneath, I'm thinking it's for me. So where is that love? So we cook for Krishna. Underneath, I'm thinking it's for his pleasure. So somebody say, you do this, and you have no idea. Then learn, find out. Go to the YouTube. Get the idea. There's so many ways to learn these days, isn't it? So it's not like, I want to do this because I'm good at this. Of course, if you're good at that, you do that. But at the same time, something that's necessary to do, we don't have someone to cover that, then learn, then you become that recipient for that. This way, everyone becomes expert in serving Krishna. Isn't it? Just like when I first joined, I really wanted to learn Mridanga and Kartal. I just joined. The next day, I said, give me the pair of Kartal. So I was going like this, and I couldn't move my feet. Because you have to do one thing. So I want to sing, then I couldn't play. So you have to rhythm. You have to play Kartal, move the feet, sing, same time. All the thing. So how they're doing it? You know, they can play and sing and dance same time. I said, wow. So I was going, ding, ding, and I couldn't dance. I'm seeing that, how they're coordinating it. So I really wanted to learn badly. Then I started to just bang, bang. Just bang it. Nowadays, people really can play the drum so well with techniques and mantras. But I used to play and sing. So all the time, the devotees, they were like, so this guy is really excited and plays so hard. And even Prabhupada, when he used to come down from his room, they said, you sing. You say, Jaya Prabhupada, and here's the drum. Because nobody knew how to play. Even me, so I was going, oh, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. And Prabhupada loved it. He was like, wow, who's this kid? So what attracts is our devotion, is our enthusiasm. Even if you don't know, but because you're trying so hard, that's what, you know, Krishna, he'll bless us, then we become expert at it gradually. Krishna sees our endeavor. Yeah. You come in the kitchen, you say, oh, well, prasad was nice. Oh, thank you. You know, you go away. But you have to appreciate the cooks, and you see how I can help a little bit, you learn a little bit. You have, change your attitude. How I can become a better devotee, how I can change my rounds. You're more inquisitive about everything. Not just you come and go, oh, the food was really good, thank you. See you next time. And you don't learn. You keep coming for 40 years. I haven't developed the taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Because when is the time you try it? You're just coming and going. Every time there's 6:40 offering, you know, you're there exactly under 7 o'clock, with your plate. So if you a genuine desire, if you have a genuine desire, you will learn quickly. It's not that it comes. Even devotion to Krishna, you have to endeavor for it. It just doesn't come boom, boom on your plate. You know, we have to cook it and bring it, you know, get the job done. It takes time. Everybody has to put in endeavor. It's not just falls on your plate. So when you want Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, we have to work at it. Sense control, eat less, go to sleep early, come to the program. There are required services that we must do. You know, there's agenda for Krishna that Prabhupada gave us. We have our agenda, and then Krishna has it. You know, what comes first? And said, oh, I like to do this, I do this. So you miss out. You don't learn the thing that other devotees are doing. But we can do everything if we have the desire to learn. even those difficult things. I used to go to Mayapur and tell my mother, I'm a cook. My mother said, really? What can you cook? And she cooked Prabhupada. I said, don't think you are the only cook. I can also cook. Just that I didn't cook for Prabhupada, but you cook for Prabhupada. And then she said, okay, I'm not going to eat today, you cook. I said, no way, you know, you eat Radhmadva. So I'm just saying that someone may be expert, someone may be not. But Krishna, like I said, Krishna sees our endeavor. If you're good at something, you're not, then you learn. Simple as that. It's not, we're coming here, everything, we have Sasanas Mangalasi here, and Prabhu's such a good cook, I just come for Pusharam. No. Put an endeavor, give him, assist us, become part of our family, Prabhupada's family, and become one of our devotees. You know, this way, expand Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Any more questions? Back there. This is like a Bhakti Bhiksha class, right? I go into some of the Bhakti Bhikshas. They never talk about these things. It's learning the sloka, everything, but they're not talking about practicality. You know, that's what they need to learn, these things. Yeah. And the first time they asked me to give Bhagavatam class, it was Vrindavan. Sannyasis, GBCs, everyone sitting there. And this little guy had to give. We were part of our practices in school thing. So I was sitting there, and this many books, and everything, all with notes and stuff. Everything was really paka, you know. You have to quote the verses, give examples, stories, not just, you know, saying. That to get the mark. You have to quote verses in relation to that verse and proper English grammar and verse from the Bhagavatam, from Puranas, not just Bhagavad Gita. So it's like to get the marks. And everyone's there, and if nobody asks questions, the teacher will ask. And you have to give the right answer. So I learn all those things, I feel fantastic. So sometimes I'm not studying, but it's all here. So if you ask me something, I'll give you the answer. With verse, quotes, everything. So these guys, I never seen read. I'm reading. Nowadays it's all in the phone anyway. You don't have to carry big books with you. It's all in the, you can find it all in the online. Yeah. I asked Mataji, what's the verse? I got it, right in the phone. You got whole books. Don't think, I don't have books with me, I can't read. You can be in the airplane, in the train, bus, you're reading the, you know, you're chatting with your friend. You can read, you could be reading Bhagavatam on the phone. You know, these days, it's so easily available, Krishna consciousness, right in your phone. I travel on the train, and there's one girl, Indian girl, she's talking to someone in India so loud. And everybody moved away from her because she's too loud. You have to consider that people around you is not your home. So we can use our phone to talk about Krishna, read about Krishna. It's right there. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We have a yoga, right? Shri Prabhupada ki jaya.